In the Bible, Mount Sinai was the location where the Ten Commandments were given to Moses by God. But do we know where Mount Sinai is? Find out in this episode.
Welcome to 15 Minutes with Chuck, where we feature interviews with music artists, entertainers, scientists, and more. Here's your host, a software consultant, teacher, and space enthusiast, Chuck Fields.
Hello, thanks so much for joining me today. Today we're going to dive deeper into the search for the true location of Mount Sinai. A new film has come out called The Journey to Mount Sinai. This is the first in a two-film investigation following the Israelites' journey from the parting of the sea to the mountain. In today's episode, we speak with investigative filmmaker Timothy Mahoney about his next leg of the Patterns of Evidence adventure as he looks for the physical evidence of the Exodus journey to Mount Sinai, where the Bible tells us that God came down upon the mountain to meet the Israelites. Did this biblical event really happen as written in the Bible? Some experts say not, yet Exodus explorers are now claiming that they have found physical evidence to support one of the greatest events recorded in the Bible.
15 Minutes with Chuck.
Tim, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, Chuck, thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. I love your story. I love your work. I want to talk about a little bit about your background, because that fascinates me too. You know, you're the founder of Thinking Man Films. Love the name. Can you just tell us more about that?
Well, Thinking Man Films, my daughter-in-law actually helped me. I remember we were on the highway and I was trying to figure out how to explain the films that we make that are that cause you to think. And they're a little bit more logical. There's logic based in it. We started to work with the Bible says to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Right.
And as filmmakers, there are a lot of films that are passionate. They've got drama. It's all about the heart. And my films tend to be more intellectual. They tend to be asking questions. And in fact, questions are really important because Jesus used questions. And I think it's a Jewish way to do things. So if you start a question, this question is a seed that plants in person's heart and allows them, that seed grows. Mm-hmm. But if you give people just an answer and you just tell them information, they can take it or leave it. Right. And so our films pose questions, and then we look for the answers and the audience gets to come along.
See, I love that. I love your style too. And I just wanted to also, how did you get started as a filmmaker in general? What drew you to that?
Well, I'm sitting in this set here and you're going to see some cameras and lenses and things behind me. They actually at one time belonged to the Billy Graham Association and Worldwide Pictures. Wow. When I was 18 years old, there was a movie that came out called The Hiding Place. It was the story of Corrie ten Boom and her family, who hid Jewish people in their home. They lived in Holland. Mm-hmm. And I saw that movie. And once I saw it, once I could go to a theater. I'd never been to a movie until I was 18 in a theater.
Wow.
Because our family didn't believe in going to movies. But then once I went to that movie, I went three times in 1 week. It really impacted me. And I think that was God's call in my life. First of all, to become a filmmaker. And it was a little bit later in that summer that I then felt almost as if God spoke to my heart and said, someday you're going to have a movie. you're going to have a movie in a theater. And believe it or not, like 30 some years later, in that very same theater, because it was a local theater, I was showing the very first Patterns of Evidence film there. And the tears just started coming down my eyes, remembering back what God had said years earlier.
Oh, that is wonderful, Tim. Thanks for sharing that story. That had to be amazing. And, you know, Patterns of Evidence, I love the other side. You had several movies we'll talk about during the Mount Sinai in just a bit. But I was just wondering, how did your passion for examining evidence of Scripture come about?
I think once you know, what the story is, and for some reason, for me, I was just curious about what happened, in the past. Mm-hmm. So it began when I was in high school. I started really enjoying Civil War. I started reading books on the Civil War, and there was a nursing home for military. And when I was a kid, somebody said there's Civil War veterans that are there. You know, this is like years ago, and it was hard to believe that they would still be alive. I don't know if they were or not, but they might have been there from the Civil War at this location. And you realize that then once you start to anybody that like Raiders of the Lost Ark, those kinds of movies about finding ancient secrets and uncovering them, that just starts to become more and more interesting to me. And I started to read more history and realized that it wasn't boring. For me, it was uncovering. It was like, like digging into things and going, and I loved military history. I loved, what happened with the Roman legions and the Braveheart, stories, those kinds of things. And the Bible is really a testimony. So if we look at the testimony of God acting in history, the Bible is testifying that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you're seeing the testimony that has been inspired by these different authors throughout, I don't know, like 1400 years, that they were inspired to testify that God was acting in history. And I guess that just my faith and my interest in history brought me to, as a filmmaker, to start being interested in, once I heard people said, there's no evidence for this testimony, then I think that all started to come together.
See, and I love that too, because one of the things that I guess about Journey to Mount Sinai that really kind of surprised me at first is sort of the lack of critical thinking on my part. I had just assumed that we knew which one was Mount Sinai. And then after, looking at Journey to Mount Sinai a little bit more, I found out there's actually, we're not sure per se, there could be up to 12 different mountains that are Mount Sinai. I was just wondering, just critically examining that and your movie, Journey to Mount Sinai Part 1, can you just tell us a little bit more about what that film is covering?
Yeah. Well, this new film, it's going to be in theaters October 17th and 18th as a 750 theaters nationwide as a Fathom event. And that film is investigating which mountain best fits the biblical references. And we actually created, I created a document that you can download. If you go to our website, patternsofevidence.com, we have what we call a Mount Sinai scorecard. So we're going to look at six of the six main candidates. There's many of them. But in this particular case, I took years to basically go to these locations and to identify in the people who were, who were supporting it. Mm-hmm. And we basically looked at the Bible, and we have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have five major patterns that we're going to look for, like with a pattern film, Patterns of Evidence. And then within that pattern, there are subcategories that we're going to be looking for. So this film is looking and following the journey of the Israelites from the sea to the mountain. Or, and there's different seas. If you've seen in our other earlier films, mm-hmm. The Red Sea Miracle, we've looked at different locations. And then you can score the investigation, because it was a lot of information to keep hang on to. So the first film, which is going to be in theaters, Journey to Mount Sinai, is going to look at the first three mountains, traditional Mount Sinai, Jebel Sinai, and Hashem El Tarif. And then the audience can, with me, I give you time in the film to basically quote your scorecard and say, what do you think? Do you think this evidence matches the biblical text? Is it a yes? Is it a maybe? Is it a no?
See, I love that part of it, because when I get to the part where you're talking about the scorecards, I mean, you're right. It pulls the audience in. It says, we're not just speaking to you and saying this is how it is. We want you to interact. We want you to examine for yourself the questions on that. You have, like I said, several check boxes for them: Journey to the Mountain, attributes, artifacts, and it's up to you as the audience, track how you feel. Do you agree with that? Do you say no? Do you need more evidence or for it? I love that aspect, and I haven't really seen that interactive element in any other film I've ever come across. So I think when it comes to scripture, that question of, what evidence is there for it? I love how audience, you can go out there, download the scorecard. It's free. Answer these questions for yourselves as you follow along. with this movie and fill it. So Tim, I congratulate you on that. I think that is wonderful. Definitely from God there, because I think God wants you to examine these things for yourself. I think it's wonderful. As you were filming this project, I mean, you've learned so much in obviously your history from it. Going over there, finding out, I guess there were places that were off limits to the public at certain points. What did you learn most about researching this film as you were going through it?
Well, first of all, I think I would put that God's word is true. I don't doubt that. But there are a lot of people that are saying that God's word is not true. So what I've learned in the investigation is that, in fact, earlier on, I actually had a crisis of faith when I first started doing this, because I felt influenced by the negative comments about the Bible. And I believe that a lot of us are going to have a time in our life that we're going to basically wonder, is God's word true? And that could even just be, well, why did this happen to my family? Or why did this accident happen? Or why did my marriage fall apart? Or why do I have cancer? And I think that we need to look at the broad picture of what the Bible is telling us. And there are many people who have suffered. And oftentimes suffering is a question that suffering is an opportunity where we're either going to understand and trust God more, or we could be wondering, shaking our fist at God and saying, why did you do this to me? And trying to understand that, you know, what does the Bible say about suffering, or what does the Bible say about loss? And so in some ways, the Israelites, what I would learn in this particular film is that the Israelites didn't believe God's word in the sense that they were grumbling against Moses. They knew that God was calling them out of Egypt, out of bondage. They had seen all these miracles. They had walked through a sea on dry ground that was parted, and they saw the destruction of the Egyptians, and they still didn't necessarily, a number of them didn't believe that God would be faithful to his word and that he would, you know, he would bring them to the mountain. They thought they were going to die out there. And you look at the Israelites, Chuck, and you think, well, why couldn't they have, you know, seen that? I can be honest with you. At times, I'm no different than they are. God has provided for me and my family many times, but there are times when I don't believe God's word is true because I don't act like it. You know, I act like I'm fearful, and I act like I'm wondering, will God really provide? You know, what's going to happen? And look at the situation we have with what we've had in the last several years with uncertainty, with you know, COVID, and with the economy and all that. Mm-hmm. Do we really believe in God's word? You know, so there's one side where people say it didn't happen. And then there's the other side where these are God's people, he's calling them, and they don't trust him with his word. And I think what's the lesson I'm learning is that God is sometimes puts us in a wilderness place so that we have to trust him every day for the manna.
And that's wonderful. One thing too, I wanted to kind of switch is you had a film also recently come out just the last month called The Journey Home. Where you sort of turned the camera on yourself, I guess, and talked about your journey. Can you tell us more about The Journey Home and what that's about?
Yeah, we made four Patterns of Evidence films. And what was happening is that people that were close to me, and one in particular was Dr. Leonard Moeller, got sick. And he ended up, it was a form of like Alzheimer's, where he ended up dying. It took him. And there was another friend of mine from Europe, same thing happened. And both of these men were dynamic believers. They were leaders in their countries. They had a passion and mission. They would be, we would be doing things right now. And yet, that's how their life went. And I felt, number one, was that I wanted to capture the testimony of what God was doing while we were making these films. And so I had captured their testimonies to a certain degree, and I wanted to highlight them because we don't know how long we have here. And both my wife and I, the film really brings the backstory of how Patterns of Evidence came to become what it was. And it had to do with my own life and my calling in my life and my wife's life, Jill. And then Pete Wendall and David Westner and my team here, Steve and Chad, how we were woven together to make these series of films that literally are, I think we're in 17 languages, and they're being used around the world to testify that God has acted in history in the archaeology. And so that film, The Journey Home, is about my, in a sense, it's my personal testimony of how I got here. And it's also the personal testimony of God acting in the making of Patterns of Evidence. So people who've watched the first four films, this could be a really insightful film, but it also could, what we would say, minister to people who might be dealing with a family situation. Because my father, we had domestic violence in our home, and my father was not well at a time and threatened to kill the family. And this is the journey that I had, that my mother and my siblings and I had to take, from that bondage of one thing and fleeing for our lives and coming to another place. And all of us, I think, Chuck, are on a journey. And God is calling us from one thing to become to another thing. And there's sometimes wildernesses that we go through along the way, but he's promised that he will sustain us and that he will care for us.
Yeah, that's so true. And we've got to hang on to that promise, because we're all going to face trials. You got to admit that you're going to have trials. They're not caused by God. That's life. We're going to face with trials. So I love how God and Jesus have just turned your life into serving him for offering these patterns of evidence. And during tonight, Si and I should point out to our audience that this is part one that's coming out. There's a part two. Can you tell us the difference? What can the audience expect in part two?
Yes, well, both films are looking at three different mountains. So the first mountain that I was actually attracted to was in Saudi Arabia. And I start with that, interest in that mountain. And then I'm challenged. It says, hey, you haven't given it a fair chance to look at other mountains, like the traditional Mount Sinai. And so that's basically what I'm doing in this film, is I'm giving other mountains a chance to identify the pattern that they have. And the second film is going to pick up where the first film left off, with three more mountains. And we're going to be going to Har Karkum, Hala Bador, and Jebel Allah. So Har Karkum is in the Israel Negev. And then the other two mountains are in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Because Moses, we're told, fled to the land of Midian. And by most indications, Midian is in northwest part of Saudi Arabia. And so that's why many people believe that if the mountain is anywhere, it's got to be on that side of the Gulf of Aqaba. You know, there's the Red Sea parts, and there's the Suez, the Gulf of Suez, and the Gulf of Aqaba. And the Gulf of Aqaba is, the tip of it is the boundary of Israel. And then there's Jordan and Saudi Arabia right there. They're all kind of have access to that Gulf. So we're going to be looking at mountains there. I've been interested in that mountain. But to be fair, what does the Bible say? So if you have if you download at patternsofevidence.com, and you can download, that's patternsofevidence.com, you can download this scorecard, but it also has a Bible references. The investigation criteria is inside here, and it allows you then to go to the Bible. You can do your own reading and be prepared for this film. And we actually have a map in here, in the download, and we have the mountains that we're looking at, as well as the campsites that are listed. So there's it's a great way to bring your family and or your small group, your Sunday school class, and be able to come to this, and then afterwards you can discuss it. But that, so the difference between the two films is we just couldn't put all of the information in one film. So it's a two film investigation.
Excellent. And they're very well made. At least I've seen the part one. I'm extremely excited about it. I think audience, you're going to love it. And patternsofevidence.com. I'll definitely put the link in the show notes. So audience, you can click there. Tim, just one last question. What's next for you and Thinking Men Films?
Well, on the Patterns of Evidence, after we do this, we're going to be working on the wandering. Where did they wander? And then their entry, the conquest. We're going to be looking at the conquest. So we're going to be combining. It's the death of Moses. Where was Moses and Aaron buried? And what archaeology remains there? And then is there any evidence that the Israelites moved into the Promised Land? And there's some very interesting footprints that are stone footprints that have just been found by archaeologists. And we're going to be looking at those. We're going to be looking at a potential, there's other evidences that I won't get too far into, but there's locations. If the Israelites, where did they stay? Where did they camp? And there are ancient campsites that we can be looking at as well. So, and then we're going to deal with the conquest. And then Joshua. Joshua went to the area of Shechem. I don't know if you know where that is, but Shechem is where Joseph and his family lived at one time. This is where the brothers really literally murdered a number of people. Mm-hmm. And this is where the bones of Joseph were brought. And I don't know if you know this, but there is a tomb of Joseph there, mm-hmm. an ancient tomb that's still been there today. And this is the place where Gerizim, Mount Gerizim and the other mountain is located, where the Israelites then shouted the curses and blessings back and forth. And just recently, there was new evidence on Mount Ebal and Gerizim. Mm-hmm. And on these mountains, there was an altar on one of them. And news just came out that there was a curse tablet that was found in the siftings that actually had a curse from an ancient early form of Hebrew. And these are evidences that are for the evidence of Joseph. I'm sorry, his burial, evidences of the Joshua and the conquest. And then there's the whole story of what happened at that location, because there were pillars that were erected. They were told to put pillars there. And you know what? The archaeologists found pillars. It's pretty controversial what happened. But one of them that didn't believe in the biblical narrative took that pillar and smashed it. Now, how many archaeologists would do something like that?
Yeah.
But because of what it represented, well, later on, they went and found that broken pillar, and they dug it out, and they reassembled it. And we're going to be talking about that. But so there's an awful lot that's coming, and we're going to take, God willing, going through the rest of the journey through the Old Testament, and then on to King Saul and King David, and working our way through the Bible.
Wow. Tim, this is fascinating. I just can't thank you enough for just your incredible ways of getting us to think and show us how scripture is true. And just, again, taking us on these amazing journeys. And I want to encourage your audience, again, Journey to Mount Sinai, October 17th to 18th.
If people want to see the film, Patterns of Evidence, Journey to Mount Sinai, they can go to patternsofevidence.com. Get your tickets for yourself, your family, invite a friend. You'll have something to talk about, and get your Mount Sinai scorecard. Invite your Sunday school class. But we really appreciate your support, because coming to the films really helps the theaters. And as you know, there aren't that many films that are out there about the Bible. If you can support us, it just makes it easier for us to continue to make these films, because we need that support. And we also have at Patterns of Evidence, if people join, we actually have a society called the Historical Faith Society, where every month we give videos about the Bible and archaeology, and people can sign up for thinker updates, weekly thinker updates on the Bible and archaeology, and that's at patternsofevidence.com. So, Chuck, thank you for your interest and your support, and look forward to talking with you again in the future.
Thanks so much, Sam. Really appreciate it.
15 Minutes with Chuck.
Well, I really enjoyed my conversation with Tim today, and I love the new movie, Journey to Mount Sinai. I highly encourage you to check it out. If you'd like more information, please go to their website at patternsofevidence.com. I want to thank Tim for joining me today. I want to thank you for joining us as well. Again, if you can do me a small favor and like and share this episode with a friend, I'd certainly appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining me today. We'll see you next time. God bless.